The show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
Welcome back to the program. That's right, Bucket Strategy Investing. Coming up this hour, more money topics with the Brain Trust. We got more questions answered for you. More dispensation of money wisdom, if I could be so pompous as to put it that way. We've got Professor Rick Plum standing by with me, Johnny Dean. We're standing by to address all of your money questions in both phone call and email form and whatever other form you have. We're also going to get into more of your emails as they come in, which include those from last hour. We had a couple on tax brackets, so I do want to cover those this hour, as well as the ones that just kind of found their way into the studio a moment or two ago, which I guess I better check because we could have had some within the last 5-6 minutes. You can email us at our website, wealthed.com. But give us a call right now. We got lines open, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R, 877-752-6637. I said wealthed.com if you want to email us. That's at the Find Your Answer link there near the top of the page. We will try to get to it this hour if we can. WealthEd is also where you're going to find blog posts, audio, video, articles, and all that stuff that we refer to on this program. Phone calls do take priority, so if you call right now, we'll get you up on board right away. And I see we got 4 or 5 lines open right now. In fact, all the lines are open, the 877-PLANNER. Now, wealth education, that's what we do on this show. It's actually what we try to provide to you every single day. And much of what you see and hear on this program can be found at wealthed.com. You can also contact the Brain Trust off the air at their off-air number, 800-644-1150. That's the number at Lucia Capital Group. They sponsor this hour of the program. If you can give them a call, you can meet with an advisor, a Brain Trust advisor, go over your individual situation and get your buckets strategy going. Once again, Professor Plum or any of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group will be happy to talk to you and help you out. 800-644-1150 with the topics that you hear on this program, things that you're not quite sure about, things you didn't quite believe maybe. Which, you know, who would not believe anything that we say on this program? Although people don't necessarily, you know, when we talked about tax brackets last hour, people are a little skeptical of that. When you say, what do you mean? If I'm in the 25% tax bracket, by golly, I make $100,000, I'm paying $25,000 in taxes, end of story.
Well, you're welcome to pay it if you want to, but you're not allowed, you don't have to.
No, you don't have to, and I would suggest that you probably shouldn't do that. Now, we had a question off the air from somebody who needed, actually, we talked to him partly on the air last hour, and we were talking to him a little bit more off the air. It was Larry in San Jose, who was asking about, he's been saving his whole life. He's like 35, something like that, but he's been saving, you know, I guess pretty much the last 15 years, at least maybe more. And now he says he's thinking of maybe enjoying life a little bit more, maybe not being as much as a saver. He wants to buy a house.
But he also mentioned the house was a 5, 6, 7 year time horizon.
Yes, I understand. So about 5 years, I think, is what he said. But if, all right, 5, 6 years, whatever it is. And so his question had to do with where is he going to put, I guess he has like $20,000.
That personal taxable account.
Yes, that he wants to save. Where is he going to put that money over the next 5 years? Now,
so the question is, how do I invest for the next 5 years for a home purchase that I may want to make in 5 years?
Yes, and it didn't sound like he was too enamored with putting money away safely for the next 5 years.
Well, and at 35, you know, and this is where the science of financial planning, it has to relate to the emotional aspects of what the person does. We talk about having a long-term time horizon for stock investing. We talk about having a 10 to 15-year time horizon. But in this case, we're talking about a 5-year. And when I was speaking with Larry, I was saying, you probably, because of your aggressiveness, your temperament, and if it were me, I would use a mutual fund, dollar cost averaging into the mutual fund over the next 5 years, even though it's only a 5-year period of time. A couple things, the reason behind that is a couple things. First off, I have that aspect of dollar cost averaging. And during the break, John and I were talking about it, and he said, well, what if the market crashes over the next 2 years? I would love to see, if that were me and I have a 5-year goal, I'd love to see it crash over the next 2 years and then recover at least, you know, partially back to where we were started with over the 5-year period of time. The problem is 4 or 5 years from now, if the market crashes, I've been building up money, I finally have some money, and then it crashes just before I need the money. Mm-hmm. That's the problem. But if it crashes right away, I don't have a whole lot of money there, and I'm buying in, and that's going to help me.
See, the fact that this seems to be a short-ish term,
but the other side of that is it is not an exact identified need. It's not like I am retiring in 5 years. I want to buy a house, but if the money's not available, if the housing prices has gone up too much, I can extend my time horizon for buying the house. I don't have to buy it on that date exactly 5 years from now.
But couldn't you say the same? I'm sorry, just to play the devil's advocate.
Not
couldn't
always.
Couldn't you say the same thing about, say, I'm going to retire at age 64.
Right, but there's a difference in the date for retirement, because at some point we're getting too old. And where it, yeah, you may not be able to keep working.
Mm-hmm, okay.
The job may not allow you to keep working. And that's, I look at it as a different type of goal than, I kind of want to buy a house. And now if he said, I know the house I want to buy, and I want to be in it in a specific time horizon, that changes attitude a little bit. But he said, I'm thinking I might want to buy a house. Okay, when? I don't know, 5-6 years. That was the answer we got. Okay, that means that we have some flexibility in our goal making. We have some flexibility in when, we don't even have a clue how much he's going to need down. He's saying like $100,000 in his neighborhood or in the area. So I'm willing to take a little bit more risk with that goal that is exact. Now, even somebody who's retiring in 5 years, I want to have some money safe enough that I can retire in 5 years, regardless of what the market does. But the money I'm saving on an automatic basis, even though I'm only going to be saving for another 5 years while I'm working, that I'm still dollar cost averaging with.
Okay.
The difference is I'm not counting on it in 5 years.
Okay. So yeah, let's make that point there, because 5 years is the time horizon. Some people would say, well, gosh, that seems like it's too short. Now, if you said, I want to buy a house in a year.
Oh, in a year, now it's cash.
It's still about time horizon.
It is. It's just a different feeling.
Yeah. Okay. And that's why I want you to talk about this, because people who may have heard that may have said, well, wait a minute. Do you talk about matching short-term liabilities
with short-term needs?
And yet at the same time, you're saying, let's say this guy wants to buy a house in 5-6 years. And you're taking the chance that the market will be down when he needs the money.
Well, I'm not necessarily taking the chance when the market's going to be down when I need the money. I'm taking the chance that it goes down right away, which is fine with me.
Or
I'm
3 years from now.
Oh, but 3 years from now, I'm talking about starting today. 2-3 years from now, I'm going to be talking about if the market has been up, pulling back the aggressiveness, because now my time horizon is getting shorter and he's got a better feel for the goal. So this isn't a set it and forget it issue. This is an always review what's going on and take advantage of what the market's giving you. If the market goes down, keep dollar cost averaging. If the market goes up over the next 3 years, now you don't have a 5-year goal, you have a 2-year goal. Well, let's take some of those profits and stick them off the side and try to safen it up a little bit. Well, how much you safen it up, it depends on you and how aggressive you want to be with the rest of your portfolio. And are you willing to postpone buying the house? Are you willing to take that risk? When we were talking to Larry, he was okay with it, I think. But if you say, no, I am buying a house in 5 years, now it's a matter of we have to be a little bit different game plan.
Because you've made it more definite.
It's more similar to what you're saying
with a retirement.
Yep.
Like you're going to retire at age 64 or whatever it is.
The house I can postpone. The retirement, I don't want to postpone. And in some cases, I may have to accelerate. And so that's why when I'm getting to that retirement goal, which is a long-term goal, I mean, time horizon, I want to be a little bit more careful with that, because for one thing, it's going to be difficult to work longer, and in many cases I have to quit earlier. I mean, unfortunately, we see that a lot where people say 66 and they only make it to 62 because they have to care for a loved one, the spouse, or their own self, their health. And so if they are not in the right position, that early retirement is going to hurt a lot.
Okay,
if a house comes up next year for Larry and it's just such a great deal, you know, the only reason he'd buy a house in the next year or two is that it's such a great deal that even if he lost 10 or 15% on his stock portfolio, it's still a good deal.
You put some thought into this. Okay, here's you got a drop dead college, a date for college, you know, age 18. You got, 5 years at this point. This is similar to retirement where you wouldn't put that at risk, right?
That is more similar, yes.
You would put that more...
I'd go more to a balanced portfolio, a little bit less volatility.
You would not dollar cost average over the next 5 years.
Oh, I would still dollar cost average.
Just not the whole thing?
Just not the whole thing, and maybe not quite as aggressively. I wouldn't go for the huge swings.
You would for somebody who's perhaps going to buy a house in 5-6 years.
Well, and it also depends on whether I'm going to be able to actually fund two... the education date, or fund through the entire education experience,
and then pay for it after.
And am I going to be relying on some of this money coming from cash flow anyway. So if I'm on pace to save up $20,000, but I know my child's going to go to a school that costs $30,000 a year, that $20,000, I'm going to dollar cost average into something aggressive because it's not a five-year goal anymore.
It's now a nine-year goal.
It's a nine-year goal.
Yeah. Or 10, one, depending on how long.
Depending on what school they go
12,
to.
12, who knows?
But if I've already got $100,000 in there, $200,000 or whatever, and I'm going to basically have it all funded in the next 5 years, I'm going to have a lot of that existing capital safe or safer. But I'm still going to dollar cost average because the money I'm dollar cost averaging could be the 9-year money, not the 5-year money.
That's why you got to have somebody looking out for you, folks. You see, this is not easy stuff. I mean, you could make it easy, but at the same time,
if lottery, everything's easy.
Well, sure, exactly. That's my point. All right. Great stuff. Great stuff. More of it coming up. Emails, phone calls. We got lines open. Call now. Your money questions coming up next. 877-PLANNER. PLANNER, whatever questions you have. Brain Trust standing by to answer them on Bucket Strategy Investing. One for Blum.
I love the intros. The meatless.
Well, because they're a minute and a half long or something like that.
Great intros.
And they build up, and they're great for, like, when you're driving, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
You know me.
You wind up with the foot all the way down to the floor. 160 miles an hour. I don't know.
I haven't actually reached that number yet.
877-PLANNER. PLANNER. You haven't reached 160 yet.
No.
Well, you need to have the first.
I got to do one of the NASCAR experiences where I can do that.
Yeah, I need to get it out of your system, right?
It may be permanently in my system at that point.
Well, that
once
could
I
be
get
a
there, it's like,
too.
Oh no.
We put you in like an F-16 with the Blue Angels or
F-18s for the Angels.
F-18.
I came close one year. I almost was able to be a media representative, and unfortunately, it was right after the air show was scheduled to be right after 2001.
And then they weren't doing that.
And then they canceled the show after September 11th.
Right, yeah.
And I've never had my opportunity to get back.
You're going to need one of those G-suits, or are you going to just pass out?
The Angels don't wear the G-suits. But, hey, I know people that, it's going to make you throw up. I don't care. I want to ride an F-18. What an incredible, beyond incredible experience that would be.
It's worth the puke.
Is that our new tagline?
That's going to go. It's on my business card right now. All right. 877-PLANNER. How do I go from that to talking about what a professional you are on the road and meeting guys like you and Terry Keyes to talk about your money? Well, look, I'll tell you what. If you're in Houston, Texas, there's a chance this Saturday. It's just a scant like 48 hours or less away in Houston, Texas at the
Postdoc Marriott.
Okay. All right. Well, you know where it is locally. You just go to wealthed.com to sign up. It's all free. Meet Professor Plum this Saturday and Terry Keyes. April 9th, Houston, Texas. Learn all about retirement income strategies and get your money questions answered. Where are you going to get a better deal than that? April 9th, this Saturday in Houston. Now, at the end of April, Santa Clara, California, Brain Trust will be there as well. April 30th, these are all Saturdays, and there could be more in May. We're working on that. Check wealthed.com for more details. Wealthed.com, you can sign up there. It's all free. Speaking of wealthed.com, by the way, 877-PLANNER, we got some lines open. You want to email us, I'm going to get to at least a few emails, and we're going to do those here. Barbara, Brunswick, Georgia. We don't have the graphic. Okay. No? Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Oh.
I'm just taking stage directions here.
Yeah. Anyway, so.
No, that was, I guess it's the wrong email. All right, so we'll take some calls.
Okay.
Okay, that's fine.
Go to Mark out in Henderson, maybe?
I was trying to hear who that was. We do this show on the fly, folks. You know what I mean? All right. Well, Barbara in Brunswick, Georgia, hold on. I want to make sure I have the correct email. So in the meantime, we're going to take a couple of calls. Who'd you say it was?
Mark. I think it was in Henderson.
Mark in Henderson. We're going to get to you next. Oh, because you're on topic. Okay, Mark, thanks for calling. How can we help you today?
Question about the new law that's going to go into effect this month.
Okay.
And I guess it relates to if you're making extra money on a 1099.
Okay, which law are we talking about?
I went into retirement about 8 months ago.
Okay, how old are you, Mark?
61. And I'll be 62 in June.
Okay.
Question is, my wife passed away, and I went out on her Social Security.
Okay.
So by the time I turn full retirement age, I still won't make as much off of mine at the rate it's going as I do on hers now. So my question is, on my 1099, if I'm making extra money and I get past that, I think it's $1,350 a month, it pays back into the account, right?
Well, it not the actual taxes, but I mean, what we're talking about is, by continuing to work, will your benefit continue to grow? And the answer is yes, it will potentially grow depending upon how many years of earnings you're showing on the books and what you're then going to put on the books over the next 4 or 5 years. The problem is, okay, if you earn more than $16,000, you start losing the Social Security benefit that you're receiving from your spouse, your late spouse. You're starting to lose the widow's benefit. So how much are you going to be earning if you go back to work?
Well, it's like you pay $1 back for every two that you make, right?
Well, over the $15,720, yeah.
Right. My question is, would that go into my Social Security account, or would it go into her account that I'm on?
Well, that it's as if you didn't take her benefit early. So let's say you go back to work and you make enough money that you lose half of the benefit that you're receiving as a widower. That means that half of the benefit would not be reduced. You took it at age 60, which means you took almost a 30% haircut from the benefit that she would have received at full retirement age. And so if you had waited to take the benefit from her work record until you were full retirement age, it would have been quite a bit larger. It would not have included that reduction. And so for every dollar that you lose in benefits because you're working and that you have to pay back, it's as if you didn't receive it early. So it's potentially, her benefit is potentially growing because it's not being paid out early. Now that, now the money that you're making, the job you're earning, the FICA taxes or the self-employment tax that you're earning, and or not earning, you're paying, your earnings go onto your earning record. So you got two things going on here. Your benefit potentially could go up because you're not taking it, and because you're earning more money, and that's building up your earnings history potentially. The other side is you're not receiving your spouse's widower's benefit early because they're taking it back from you, and so it's as if it's not being penalized for taking it early, at least the portion that you had to pay back. So it's going to potentially grow as well.
Right, and at the rate it is, obviously hers is still higher than what mine would be if it just had to wait right now.
Okay.
But say I make extra money, my question is, do I lock into her Social Security?
By taking it early?
Forget about my,
Well, it probably, if your benefit is lower than her benefit.
Well, it is, and I'm on hers now.
Right, and so.
I've been on it for 8 months.
Right, and so you would just stay on her benefit, and you would let your benefit, leave your benefit alone all the way out until age 70. Your benefit will continue to grow all the way to age 70. And if it then becomes larger than the benefit you're receiving, you can switch over to that benefit at age 70. On the other side, if it never gets to that number, then you're locked into the spousal benefit that you're receiving now, because it's the highest benefit that you're going to have payable to you. If you have to take it now because you need the money to live, then you have to take the discount in the benefit. If you go back to work and you do not need the widower's benefit anymore, you can have them stop it because you're showing them that you're working, and it will grow just like your benefit's going to grow. In fact, it'll grow a little faster, but it will only grow until age 60, your full retirement age. And so,
I can see staying on hers right now because I have to.
Yeah, and just leave yours alone until 70.
Okay, but I'm making money on the 1099.
All right. And you will be
supplement.
It will get reduced at some point, and you'll have to pay it back.
Yeah. Hey, Mark, I got to take a break here. So if you have any other questions, hang on, and we can explain this a little bit further. In fact, maybe we will. Just to clarify, spousal benefits don't. Yes.
The good news is, his first comment was about this new rule going in. The new rules have no impact on you, Mark. Nothing, not a zilch.
There you go. And that was the first thing that he mentioned on that call. All right, hang on if you have some more questions. Lines open, 877-PLANNER. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. We're coming right back. It is Bucket Strategy Investing. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. Taking your phone calls, 877-752-6637. I got a lot of things to get to here. I still want to talk about this, the rules for financial advisors that are changing.
The Department of Labor.
Yeah, the Department of Labor. But I've got so many emails, and I don't want to leave these hanging. So I'm going to do these first. We will get to this stuff, though, because it's all important. This one came from Tim. This actually came in about a topic we were talking about last hour. So that's why I'm doing it here. And yesterday, Tim in, I believe it's Las Vegas, it is, or nearby, on yesterday, he says, you talked on KDWN about tax brackets. Could you please speak to the differences of income? He's referring to the earned income tax credit, is what he's talking about. The differences of income at maximum credit, phase out beginning and phase out end.
I don't have the earned income tax credit income brackets and the size of the credit memorized, but my guess is that to get the earned income tax credit, you're still in the 15% income tax bracket.
Well, he says, I try to adjust my W-4 to compensate for the tax credit, but do not recall seeing the earned income tax credit laid out this way. But
well, you wouldn't see it on the W-4. No. The W-4 is what you turn in when you hire on a job or you want to manipulate the withholding on your paycheck. It's a way to basically tailor your tax refund. Some people like to get large tax refunds because it's a way for them to save. Some people don't like getting large tax refunds. They like having more money in their check every week, every month. And so they can adjust how much withholding they do on a paycheck by paycheck basis, so that they come close to a specific refund or something at the end of the year. A lot of people will try to break even, maybe get a refund of $100 or something, but they don't want to have to pay in April when they file their return.
Yeah.
They'd rather have the money during the year. And so the W-4, you know, and we get this question quite a bit. Well, how do I fill out my W-4? Married, single, one exemption, 99 exemptions? What does an exemption mean? And so, The higher the number of exemptions, the less they're going to withhold from your paycheck. The reasoning is, if you actually have that many dependents and exemptions, you're going to owe less income taxes. If you owe less income taxes, you don't have to pay as much to get to the final amount. So if you're looking to integrate the earned income tax credit with your W-4, the first thing you're going to want to do is actually look at your tax return. Do either take last year's tax return, if it's going to be very similar in income to this year, and look at what your tax liability was for last year after the credit. So you go through it and you say, well, my tax liability last year was $1,200 after the credit. Well, that means that this year you want to withhold, if this were January, the beginning of the year, you want to withhold $100 a month, $1,200 to be able to have that money paid in so that you basically break even again this year. So what number of exemptions will get you there? Well, that's where you need a little bit of a payroll calculator. Now, with the payroll services that I have seen out there, the bigger ones at least, they have a payroll calculator. You put in your income for the year or for the pay period, and you can put in, I'm filing as married or single, and then you put in the number of dependents, and it tells you this is what it's going to withhold from
dependents
your paycheck.
Dependents or exemptions, you're saying?
Exemptions.
Yeah.
Same thing in my vernacular right now. So I put in two exemptions. In fact, I was just doing this for my son the other day. I was talking about this yesterday as well. He wanted to know what he's going to be able to do as far as when he's getting married in a week. Does he need to, or can he change his withholding on his paychecks and hopefully get a few more bucks in his, you know, now that he's going to be filing as a married individual rather than a single individual? And so we looked at the total income of the two of them together with whatever exemptions. You just bought a condo too, so we looked at all that and said, you can change your exemptions from married zero, which is what he was claiming, to married two or three, I can't remember what the number was now, and it'll increase his paycheck by like $100 a paycheck or $150 a paycheck. which, you know, it's going to help them enough. And it'll still withhold enough to meet his tax liability at the end of the year.
And there are people who
I do it every year.
Who would rather not get a check back. They don't want to owe anything, but they'd rather have it come out right about zero.
And I've done it both ways.
Well, yeah. And there are people who also, for purposes of ACA and the, you know, the health insurance subsidies,
want to owe something at the end of the year.
Want to owe something or have very little on either side left over, because that way, if they were given too much in a subsidy, it can't be taken back.
But I have manipulated my withholding. You know, most of the time, I like to get just a small little refund. I really dislike writing a check in April for taxes. I know you know, you complain about it from time to time.
Oh, I can't stand it.
I don't like doing it. So I like to set my withholding up to where I'm going to get a little bit of a refund. But there have been times where I needed a little bit of help with an ongoing savings plan, because in May or June I had an expense coming up that I wanted to make sure I had money available. So I did it with my tax refund. I withheld a little more out of every paycheck, and it was like I didn't even notice I was saving.
And
I got a bigger refund. Now, when interest rates are 5, 6, 7% on money market accounts, it's probably not a good idea. When interest rates are 0.05% on a money market account, what did I lose?
You didn't lose anything. You're not giving it. It was the old "don't give an interest-free loan to the government." Well, there's
I'm not earning anything
anyway.
On it.
Exactly. So the amount of the exemptions on these W-4s is dependent on how much you make.
It's dependent on how much you make, and how big of a refund. It depends, and it's not the same for everybody.
Right.
Somebody who has a very large mortgage can have more exemptions than somebody who rents.
Yes. The
lower the exemptions, the more they withhold.
Right. So the for each exemption that you put in, depending on your income, it'll either be more or less.
Right.
In other words, one is worth more the less you make.
Like if you make $120,000 a year, and you're saying married filing,
yes,
that exemption is equal to one exemption is basically equal to $1,000. You know, that's if you make less than $95,000, one exemption is worth a little bit more. It's because they're looking at an exemption is roughly $4,000, so they're looking at that income level. Your tax bracket, your marginal bracket, is going to be 25%. So that exemption just saved you 25% of $4,000. It saved you $1,000. Whereas if it's you're in the 15% bracket, it's only 15% of $4,000.
So that would mean each exemption is about $600 per year, we're saying.
Yes, per year.
Right. So if you wanted to, if you made $30,000 a year, you would want to add...
Well, it depends on how much you think you're going to owe in taxes. Now, the problem comes in where you're only one of the individuals.
Yeah.
You make the $30,000 and your spouse makes the $300,000, then it's going to...
Just like we talked about before, yeah. All right.
And you thought this was simple.
This
is actual fun. This is like jigsaw puzzles. How do we make it all fit to work for the what you want it to work for?
And that's what a planner does, and that's why I think you're probably very well suited for it. Barbara, Brunswick, Georgia. I can do this now. Okay. I will turn 71 next year, have a rollover IRA. I also have a rental property and receive Social Security. Is it feasible to take some money out of my IRA this year and put it into a Roth IRA without increasing my tax liability? I already have been taking money out of my IRA, including withholding 10% for the feds, and my Social Security is also being taxed. Last year, I withheld 15% for federal taxes from the IRA. So can she do this without increasing her taxes?
No. Maybe I'm missing the question here. Can you take money? You are currently in a tax bracket. You do pay taxes. Your Social Security is already being taxed, at least to some level. Can you take more taxable income and not pay taxes? No, you're going to pay taxes. Now, can you do it without increasing your tax bracket? Maybe, maybe not. And it depends on what's going on with some other factors. The problem is that for every dollar you're taking out of the IRA now, not only is that dollar going to be taxed, some of your Social Security is going to be taxed. More of your Social Security is going to be taxed. So even if you were in the 10% bracket, your real effective cost is going to be 15 or 18%. If you're in the 15% income tax bracket, your real effective rate is going to be between 22 and 28%. So it's all a matter of what is happening. But you can't already have a tax situation and take more taxable income and not expect to pay more in taxes. Now, it may make sense to do it, though. If I can do it without jumping brackets, or if I can do it without hurting myself looking at not just this year, but next year, following years, and when we get into our required minimum distributions. It may actually make sense to do it this year, but it will increase your tax liability for this year.
Can you offset it maybe with some losses somewhere, either some short-term?
Well, whatever losses I had would have been offsetting the other income, so
if you hadn't realized them yet, you know.
Well, yeah, $3,000. If I have capital losses, I can use up to $3,000 of capital losses to offset a distribution from my IRA. But if I had $3,000 of losses, I could use those to offset my other incomes too.
Yes.
So that's not...
That's not really what...
I could do that either way.
She wants to do, yeah.
If the only thing she's doing is taking more money out of her IRA, it's going to increase her tax liability.
Exactly. Because anything that comes out of that traditional IRA...
Taxable.
Taxable. And by the way, it's taxable at ordinary income rates too. So there's your answer, Barbara. All right, we got plenty more to talk about. We got some trivia if we have time, but we got room on the phones for you. Give us a call, 877-PLANNER. Another segment is just ahead. Any money question you have, Brain Trust here to answer it for you. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group, 877-PLA-NNER. Don't go away. Coming right back. It is Bucket Strategy Investing. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. We've got a few more minutes left in the hour, so if you want to give us a call, now would be the time to do that. 877-752-6637. If we have time, we'll get some more of your emails and some trivia coming up, perhaps. Once again, it all depends on time. I want to get to as many calls as I can, though. 877-752-6637. Let's go next to Jeff in Las Vegas. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how you doing?
Listen, I'm kind of questioning. I have a variable life insurance policy that has about 82,000 cash value in it, and the face value is 100,000. But if I died tomorrow, it'd be probably about 182,000,
right?
Just because of the cash value. The question I got is, if I take in, I guess I've been listening and hearing that it's better to have term life insurance and use the, extra money on a monthly basis to invest it in a different bucket.
Well, let's talk about why you have the insurance in the first place. What's the reason?
The original thought was my insurance was because I've had this policy for 26 years, so it was for taking care of the family if I had a problem,
Okay.
All the girls are gone now, so it's just me and the wife, so.
But it would still be nice to leave her some money if you die, or when you die. I shouldn't say if, it's not an if question.
Right, exactly,
And so now the thing is, you've got a very nice cash value compared to the death benefit. You could, this is one of those life policies where you could potentially start taking a distribution from it. How old are you, Jeff?
I'm 61, and I plan to retire in about 6 years at 67. So, and at that point, at 67 or 70 years old, I'm thinking there's no really point for me to continue to, have a life insurance policy. I'm going to probably just self-fund myself because the wife will be getting, pensions and retirement and all that. She's not going to have that need anymore. So.
Right. Now, do you have a pension?
Yes, I have a, I work for the government, so I get a PERS.
Okay. So pension. you have a potential need for insurance. Now, have you already started receiving your pension?
No, not yet.
Okay.
No.
When you sign up for your pension at 66, 67, when you retire, you're going to have the option to take a life only, which will give you a higher income, or take a pension with a survivor benefit that pays a continuation of income to your wife if you die. By
That's
having
correct.
This life insurance...
Yeah, there's about a $500 difference between the two.
Right. So by having this life insurance, you could say, let's take the life only, have $500 more a month, according to your numbers, for the rest of our joint life. And if I happen to die too soon, you get $180,000 of life insurance to replace the pension that goes away if I die too soon. So you actually have...
It doesn't... Yeah. Yeah, if I took the higher amount, yes.
Exactly. And because you have so much cash value, there may be ways to structure, whether you keep this policy or you go to a different policy, you can structure the policy so that you don't have to make any more premiums. You've got the death benefit for the rest of your life. You have the access to the cash if you wanted to even start taking an income and have the death benefit. I wouldn't just ditch this policy. Whether it was a great one or not great one, right now it's doing a good job for you. It's giving you options that you wouldn't otherwise have. So I think that it's actually doing its job. And I would keep it, and I would actually consider looking at that life-only option. How large is your pension going to be?
I'm going to get probably about $3,000 to $3,400 a month just from that, and probably $2,400 from Social Security.
Okay, so what you could potentially do is use this cash of this $180,000 of death benefit to replace a big chunk of the pension. So it's $3,400 if you provide a survivor benefit, or it's $3,400 life only, your life only?
No, that would be survivor also. If I didn't have it, it would be about $500 more or something like that.
Okay, and the survivor option, will she continue to get $3,400 or will she get 50% of that at $1,700?
No, she would get $3,400.
That's a pretty nice little pension, but you may be able to work this life insurance to create an income. I mean, you've got a good percentage of cash value compared to death benefit. You can use this as a tax-free distribution to enhance the income that you already have. I'm not sure I'd want to get rid of this life insurance yet. Not until we looked a lot deeper into it and what we could maybe use it for, whether it's an income stream, in addition to all the taxable income that you have from pensions and Social Security and other things, having a tax-free income from this, and having a death benefit if you unfortunately died too soon. We do have to look at your life expectancy and things like that. But I wouldn't get rid of it. I would look at using it in a way that is the most efficient for you, but I'm not sure that getting rid of it right now is the best thing. You're right. You don't need other insurance. You probably don't need any term insurance, but I wouldn't get rid of this insurance because of the way it sounds like it's working for you.
Yeah, and you know, so my, you know, the hard part for me is trying to figure out, you know, what I'm looking for 6 years from now is, before I want to start using my IRAs and
right,
the other stuff that I have, I want to have a certain amount be coming out as a guaranteed.
Right, and we can maybe we can create that from the life insurance. You probably have somebody telling you, let's move it to an annuity so that we can create a guaranteed lifetime income. You can probably create a very good lifetime income from the life insurance policy. The difference is it'll be tax-free if you do it right, versus the annuity could have a taxable event with it, and I don't like that.
Right, yeah. See, that's what I'm all looking at.
Right, that's why we need to look at this a little deeper than just the phone call here.
Hey, Jeff, I tell you what, because I'm about out of time for this hour, and there's a whole lot more that you could look into on this. If you want to hang on, I can have Professor Plum or one of the Brain Trust advisors just take a look and see what it is you have. But Professor Plum, and thanks for the call, Jeff. I appreciate it. You hate to give something up whether it was a
great investment up to this point.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
You're at the point.
Here we are today with this $82,000 of cash. What is the best use of this money? Is it to go to some other annuity or something? Probably not. Is it to be able to take a different pension option? Maybe. I mean, there's lots of things you can do.
Yeah, there are. We're out of time. We can't discuss it now. If you need the Brain Trust Off the Air for this or any other question that you have, you can call them at Lucia Capital Group at the off-air number, 800-644-1150, 800-644-1150. Talk to them about your retirement plan. For Professor Rick Plum, I'm Johnny Dean. This is Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented,
Indiana, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.